It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan. Presented by Women's Excellence. Now here's your host, Marie Osborne.
Happy New Year, everyone, from the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. As always, we have Dr. Jonathan Zaidan alongside from Women's Excellence. Dr. Zaidan, obviously, it is a new year. We all have resolutions. Let's face it, we all try to have them. We've been through this before, right?
What would a show be if we didn't talk about some sort of weight loss program, which we have at Women's Excellence? And now we even have a concierge aesthetic program, which I think is really taken off, and the people in our practice are really benefiting. Not to mention, we get to take in this show, follow up with what we talked with Amy Lang last week, and we kind of touched on it, but we can talk all about our new Endometriosis Treatment Center of America, which is the beginnings of a place where people can get treated all across the country, we're hoping, in the next 5 to 10 years.
It sounds very exciting, the Endometriosis Center. Amy Lang, Fox 2 news anchor and reporter, talking about her personal journey that she took along this road to a hysterectomy. She was very open with you. You had a great conversation. And of course, as always on the show, Dr. Zaidan, we're going to do our Ask the Doc segment. I know it's your favorite thing because we get to put you on the spot with some tough health questions.
Yeah, well, you know, they like to embarrass me. I haven't read them, haven't seen them, so I'm sure that Jessica is standing by waiting to stump the professor, so to speak.
That's a little bit later on in the program here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR with Dr. Jonathan Zaidan of Women's Excellence. Dr. Zaidan, you know, this is a conversation that I think we just keep having over and over. It's like the Groundhog Day movie, remember? We just keep having the same...
Should I start saying stuff like, good morning, Punxsutawney, the seer of all seers, sayer of all sayers?
It's exactly, but it is the same thing over and over again when we talk about weight loss and trying to get into a healthier mode of living. I know we've brought in Susanna Marcoux, your nurse practitioner at Women's Excellence. Hi, Susanna. We're so glad you could join us.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We want to talk a little bit again about, we're just a few weeks into the new year, and I would imagine you two could answer that question, that most people who made that resolution to lose weight or to be healthy might be already falling off the wagon.
Yeah, well, not necessarily falling off the wagon. I think this New Year's Eve was a little bit different than most. You know, we had individuals who had survived the pandemic, might have gained, you know, that 19 pounds associated with COVID-19, and now are extra ready to really kind of hone in on the new year. And those are the patients that we really want to get to and say, hey, you know, this is a chronic condition. You had emphasized that we're constantly talking about this, Being overweight or, you know, obese or morbidly obese, it's a chronic condition. So these are constant topics we're bringing up with every patient to really get them to their goal.
And it's especially, I think, more this year, like you mentioned, COVID-19. We talked about this earlier in our shows. I think this was somewhere around May, where we were joking about the COVID-10 or the quarantine 15. And, you know, some people really got serious about that, you know, at the end part of the summer and really started exercising and so on and so forth because they knew their routine had to change. But there was a ton of people out there still that are, you know, really kind of inactive now because of all of this. And, you know, it's difficult to exercise or do any of those things wearing masks. So, you know, if they don't have a home, you know, exercise program or some other program that they can do just locally outside, they don't have that motivating factor that they used to have, maybe with going to their friend, to the gym, or so on and so forth. So I think it's really important that we do this show today just to give people some ideas on how do you use the home to continue, you know, your exercise routine and caloric burn and activity.
Go ahead, Susanna.
This leads well really into some of the tips that we talk with patients when they do come in office or we do virtual visits for weight loss and weight loss accountability. I think one of the biggest factors when we're thinking about what happened during this last year is people might have lost motivation. You're no longer going out. You're no longer doing the things you used to do. You know, there's a lot of people that routine is everything. You break that routine, you've essentially broken up the construct of that person. How are they going to function? What are they going to do? And weight loss is not immune to that. So I can definitely share some tips if that's something you guys would like.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's the routine. I see that all the time, in that people just don't know where to start, right? They're used to a certain thing, and you are 100% accurate. And I think that's going to kind of probably be answered more in this aesthetic part of this program, because, you know, people have really lost their motivation to look good and actually stay healthy, because they're like, well, I don't go out and see anybody anymore. The only people I see are my family members, and we're all in sweatpants sitting around all day. And quite frankly, many people that I see, and, you know, I'd like to your take on it, they actually tell me that the reason that, you know, they know they're getting heavy and they need to watch it is because their clothes that they wear on a regular basis start fitting tighter. Well, now we're all wearing, you know, expandable sweatpants. I'm not going to tell you what brand, but, you know, we're all wearing them, and we don't have that feedback, right?
I had one patient in office not that long ago, actually, who was working from home for the longest time. So she was wearing sweatpants every day. And then essentially they just got the okay to go back into work. And now she's putting on her pants and her form-fitting shirts, and they don't fit. Or they don't fit as well as they used to. So that was a big telltale for her that, oh yeah, my gosh, I need to do something about this. And we really went in on, you know, not to sound cliche, right? This new year, this new you, but it's actually identifying, you know, getting into a goal. What is your goal? Once you've identified a goal, you can identify steps on how to get there. And that's one of the things that I really like to talk about with patients is, you know, in 3 months, what's your goal? 4 months, 5 months. Sometimes we have to reevaluate, because sometimes goals can be a little, you know, out there. But if it's a realistic goal, I'm all about helping them get there. And once you've established that, it's really getting in the mindset of, this is not a diet. Diets have end dates, right? Lifestyles technically continue for a lifetime. So,
and you,
so when you say you're setting up a goal, right, you're setting that goal with the patient. I mean, I kind of have an idea, because I refer patients to you and some of the other nurse practitioners for this, but you're actually helping them set a realistic goal. Am I correct on that?
That is correct.
Okay. All right.
And that was the point I was going to ask, was about the setting of the goal, and that it has to be realistic. Because, okay, I want to lose 50 pounds. If I came in as a patient and said, you know what, by June, I need to be down 50 pounds, what would you say to me?
I would say we need to reevaluate that and look at healthy weight loss should really be no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. So if we're calculating a timeline and a, you know, a certain amount you want to lose, if it falls within 1 to 2 pounds a week, that's a pretty realistic goal. But now, to make it a little bit more complex, I have some patients that want to bodybuild, you know, and they're doing it in their home environment. We're looking at different weight sets for them. You know, I'm kind of recommending certain brands to them and certain things they can do in the home. Those patients may not see the number drop, but they see the clothes fitting better. They're getting the physique that they like, stuff more like that.
So moving in the right direction. Dr. Zaidan, talk a little bit about the impact of being overweight on women's health, because of course your expertise is in gynecology and obstetrics, and how does it affect our health?
Well, I think, you know, there's a ton of studies that talk about, as you gain, you know, fat in any part of your body, that's going to increase your risk for heart disease, right? So that's number one. But I really think it has to do with your metabolism in general. And I think it's a very large vicious circle, in that as you gain weight, you become more inactive. And there's another, you know, common metabolic principle where, you know, the adipose tissue that we accumulate when we gain weight oftentimes leads to more insulin resistance. So there's a lot of complex biochemical kind of stuff going on there. But the bottom line is that your body, the more weight you gain, the more its propensity to gain weight is. And so it's really important to intervene in that early stage, because it becomes harder and harder the more weight you gain. And I think, you know, those things oftentimes increase a lot of other issues. They can exacerbate, you know, weight can exacerbate respiratory conditions. It can lead to inactivity, more blood clots, heart disease. There's a lot of things, you know, even some of your vasculature changes when you gain a lot of weight, right? And it can, and, you know, impact your blood pressure as well. So all of those things I think need to be, you know, at least thought of as motivating factors to, you know, alleviate those things. I'm going to lose weight because I want to be healthy. And one of the big goals, like Susie said, you know, and the goal that I use, and I think a lot of people use, is I want to be healthy for my kids and my grandkids. And I think that, you know, when people start to really focus on something outside of just themselves, they typically do much, much better. And I think that's what the program at Women's Excellence really focuses on is, you know, like what Susie says, you know, setting that goal. And then also, you know, allowing people to understand that they're, the end point of that goal is for you to be healthier, more active, and more fun to be around and have more fun yourself as a person because of that activity.
Susanna and Dr. Jonathan Zaden as well, if you want to weigh in on this, have you seen patients coming into your office who's, frankly, their depression over this past year and the isolation that we've all experienced is impacting maybe the weight gain and the inability to lose those few pounds or to kind of motivate themselves?
I'd say absolutely. I mean, you know, to kind of hone in on what Dr. Zaden had said, everything tends to be a vicious cycle. You know, that woman, when she had come in and she had seen that, you know, her clothes didn't fit, her mood was down, she hasn't been able to engage in any of her regular activities, that alone is enough. So if, even if she was having even the slightest bit of maybe very subclinical depression, you throw that in there, it just makes it, you know, 5-10 times worse. But again, you know, when you look at the body and look at the patient as a whole, these are all things that you're able to identify when you come into Women's Excellence.
And Dr. Zaden, when you do you ever refer someone to Susanna as they come into you that maybe need to lose a little bit of weight, or how does that work?
Well, you know, I see a lot of patients, you know, for surgical type problems. But a lot of those patients, once I develop a rapport with them and we have a certain level of trust, obviously taking somebody to the operating room for complex conditions, you know, you build a good level of trust. A lot of those patients will ask me, or sometimes I just bring it up in casual conversation and say, hey, you know, you might be interested in, you know, doing some weight loss now that you've had this problem taken care of. Because you have to remember, a lot of the things that I do kind of lead to inactivity. For example, bladder control problems leads to inactivity. And then just chronic pelvic pain, like, you know, for endometriosis and so forth. Those things lead to people just not wanting to do very much. They certainly don't feel good in an inflammatory state. Like if they're, you know, having a lot of pelvic pain, they don't really want to go and exercise. And with bladder control problems, some people are just frankly too embarrassed to do that exercise. And even when they're at home, it's not comfortable to, you know, start exercising and leak. So they just don't do it. And so sometimes when I'm done, I then refer because they now are in a different phase and they want to change their life because they can do more. So the answer to your question is yes, I do refer from that perspective. And I think that at Women's Excellence, a lot of our providers refer to these programs just for general health. You know what I mean? And the routine stuff.
You are listening to Dr. Jonathan Zaden of Women's Excellence, along with Susanna Marcoux, nurse practitioner, also from Women's Excellence. When we come back, Susanna, don't go anywhere. We need you for our next segment. We're going to be talking about urban aesthetics and something called platelet-rich plasma therapy. What is that? We'll have the answer for you when we come back here on The Healthy Woman Show. Welcome back to The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. We have Dr. Jonathan Zaden, of course, as our co-host here from Women's Excellence, along with Susanna Marcoux, nurse practitioner. And both of you want to talk a little bit about something called urban aesthetics and also the platelet-rich plasma therapy. So let's start with urban aesthetics. Who wants to tell me what that's about?
I can open that up, actually. So Urban Aesthetics is the only concierge line that serves patients in Southeast Michigan for various aesthetic procedures. One of the biggest points in that is that you need to have a provider, the same provider you get at any Women's Excellence location, have in your home to help you with different things that you may want in the comfort of your own home. initially, we had actually spent a lot of time on this and developing it in 2020, along with the weight loss program. We did a whole revamping of that as well, because they tied in very well. Now, when it comes to urban aesthetics, we had started with the concierge platform and the at-home platform, Botox, various types of filler, various types of chemical peels, even skin consultations, Latisse. Over time, like any natural good practice, it develops. So heading into 2021, Dr. Zayden and I, we sat down, we had Jessica in the mix, part of our marketing team, and we developed, okay, what are patients asking for? Because when you really listen, patients will tell you what they want. They'll tell you, hey, I'm really lacking in this, or I would like this service. That's where we started in the addition of Kybella. We're working on microneedling. We're working on dermaplaning. But what's really exciting is that we actually, you know, thanks to Women's Excellence, we actually have the office space to do something with PRP.
Well, so the idea, Marie, you know, when this all came up, I mean, I think to answer your question is that, you know, our patients were asking us all the time on how to be a better self, right? So we finally decided, and we've always kind of, Women's Excellence, just because of its, you know, core business, right? We care for women for gynecologic and obstetrical needs. And so we've always kind of shied away from doing the aesthetic side of all those, that care, because we wanted to make sure that our patients did not feel as if they felt that they had to do these items because they're coming to our office. And we know that there are some, you know, offices, and I'm, you know, certainly if your office does this, don't think that I'm saying anything bad about it. I just want to make sure that, you know, you understand our core desire for doing these services. It's to make you a better you. We didn't want to offer these things in our general offices where you felt like you came in and we were pushing you to do them. And so we are now developing something called Women's Excellence Enhance in collaboration with Urban Aesthetics. That way, if you choose to want to do these things, you can come to a trusted provider. And when I say these things, that can be anything from Botox to, you know, making some skin rejuvenation, potentially helping you out with any part of your body that you want to enhance, be that your eyebrows or eyelashes, you know, all these different services that you see in multiple aesthetic locations, we can now do them through Women's Excellence. And I think the nice thing is that we can also incorporate that into how a patient's metabolics are, their weight loss, whether or not they're having other medical conditions that might ultimately be affecting their skin, and so forth. So I really think this is a really fantastic service to offer. I think that we are offering it at the right time because we have a lot of patients that really desire these services. And we're not doing it in a way where you feel like you're obligated to buy something when you come to Women's Excellence for your medical care. Because first and foremost, when you come to Women's Excellence, we want to provide the best medical care possible. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're trying to make sure that we have options to do things very well that correspond to your medical condition and work the best they can work, because we're doing it comprehensively and collaboratively with your medical care.
And tell us about platelet-rich plasma therapy. What is that?
Platelet-rich plasma. It's not necessarily newer on you know, the medical platform. However, we're finding new and improved ways to actually better patients' lives, whether it be aesthetically, whether it be from the GYN standpoint. So Dr. Zayden and I have discussed that we're actually looking at four distinct ways of using this into 2021. One of the ways is for hair restoration. So PRP is actually FDA approved for hair restoration. So male pattern baldness, female pattern baldness, fabulous. That's going to be an in-office procedure because blood does have to be drawn. It has to be placed within a centrifuge. All PRP procedures will be done at a Women's Excellence enhanced location. Second is we can also use it for facials. So, you know, the quote unquote vampire facial. You know, when we're looking at PRP, it has regenerative properties. we can also take those regenerative properties and use them for issues like lichen sclerosis. Women suffer from, you know, very dry vulvas. A lot of lichen is found in premenopausal and even postmenopausal women. And, you know, the much debated, much talked about OSHOT. We can use PRP to enhance sexual desire, to enhance orgasmic function. What woman wouldn't want that?
The idea here behind PRP is that if you take somebody's normal blood, so it's your own blood, you spin the blood down in something called a centrifuge, as Susie alluded to. That blood that's spun down, you get to a platelet-rich pellet of material. And then you resuspend those platelets and then inject them into your own body part, wherever you wish to do that. The beauty of that is that product that you end up with, which is your own product, has a very concentrated amount of regenerative type growth type factors. And that allows your own tissue to grow a little bit better. So if your tissue is, you know, for example, if you have a skin condition called lichen sclerosis, we found that we've actually improved that by injecting PRP. If you have decreased blood supply to the vulvar area, which decreases your sensation, we found that if we can inject that, it actually improves that sensitivity and blood supply and nerve endings. So that's what PRP does. It's exciting. I'm glad that we're able to offer it to patients, and I think it's a great addition for those people that need it.
Susanna Marcoux, thank you so much for joining us today here on the Healthy Woman Show. Susanna is a nurse practitioner at Women's Excellence at the various locations. And we're going to be back with Dr. Zaidan. Buckle up, Dr. Zaidan. Ask the Doc is next. We're back to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. It is Ask the Doc time. And as always, we have Jessica Rousset, Patient Outreach Coordinator at Women's Excellence, joining us with the list of questions. And these are questions that you've actually gleaned from your patients, Jessica.
Yeah, that's what we do each month. And it's good to be back. And these ones are a little bit different this time. So I hope it's not too hard for you, Dr. Zaidan.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
You
know,
you can tell.
I just want to let you know that, you know, ultimately your job depends on this. So
oh, no.
Let's see how it goes.
Okay, well, we'll jump right in then. And I love this first question because it's something you promote all the time. But when you pick it apart, you'll understand what this patient is asking. So this patient wants to know, what is normal when it comes to your period and what is considered irregular? When should I involve my doctor? And it's so perfect because we're always saying, you know, if you're having abnormal periods, go to your doctor. But what exactly is abnormal? We're always conditioned to believe that, oh, you're going to have pain, you're going to have bleeding. So what is actually irregular?
Oh, wow. You know, you're right. I mean, it's somewhat difficult, right? So I'm going to give you a little history behind this, right? So there's been a lot of study about this. So when they do a research study on talking about how much somebody bleeds, they've done a lot of different things to try to quantify how much blood a person's lost, right? So, you know, when somebody comes in and says, I have heavy periods, right? If you're doing a study and you say, well, how are your periods? And they say, well, light, heavy, whatever. Depends on your culture, depends on your own personal history, right? It depends on maybe the month or the 3 months before how you answer that question. So they tried to measure it with pad counts and all kinds of different things, and they've never really been able to do that. They have actually given people small scales and had them measure each pad that they used and made them use a pad to you know, weigh the things and then try to quantify the blood and calculate how much the pad was originally, how much it was afterwards, and you have to capture every piece of blood, but then that's you know, obviously impacted. So this question is actually probably a quintessential question of OBGYN. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If you feel, first of all, your period, let's start with timing. Your period should probably happen every 28 days. Normal is probably between every 24 days. And when I say 24 days, that means from day one to the next day one. So it doesn't mean that you have a period for 7 days, and then you start 24 days. It means that from day number one, you count, and when you get to 23, day 24 should be the last day that you're not having a period, and then you start again on day one. Okay. So that's 24 day cycle. So somewhere between 24 and probably 34 is normal. So if you have periods in that synchronicity, meaning that, you know, every 24 to 34 days you have a period, that's a pretty normal time period. When it changes is when you start skipping periods and now you get a period every 2 weeks, you know, 14 days apart. That's a problem. Or if you get your periods and you skip months, you know, I have my period every 50 days to 120 days. That's not normal. And those are things that you should definitely consult your doctor. The second part of this question is how much is too much? And what I would tell you is every woman probably passes a few small clots, you know, every time they have a menstrual cycle. When those clots start to make you use double layer protection, that's when it's too much. If you are using two different things throughout your menstrual cycle for more than 1 to 2 days, you shouldn't be doing that. And we probably need to evaluate you, because remember, a lot of people get found with bleeding abnormalities when they've actually started bleeding really heavy for 3 or 4 days, but then ultimately they start really bleeding because of the pathology that they have and the medical condition that they have, so severe that they end up anemic in the emergency room. And that's what we want to avoid. Okay. Then the third component to this question, which is, you know, I hope this is the most complicated. So the third one is, how many days should I bleed? So great. I bleed every 28 days. I bleed every 27 days. I'm normal. If you bleed more than 7 days, that's too much. So if your period lasts, you know, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, that's when we should start looking for other things that might be contributing to that extra duration of time that you're bleeding. Because remember, all of these are different, and that's why it's so hard to study this, and that's why I brought those studies up in the first place, in that, you know, if you bleed every 28 days, but you bleed for 27 days, you're bleeding all month long, and that's not normal, right? So it's kind of hard, and I hope that our listeners followed what I said, but let's stick to these principles. You should have your period from day one to day one, every 24 to 34 days. You should bleed from anywhere from 1 to 2 days to 7 days. If it's greater than 7 days, it's too much. And then finally, if you're passing clots or you're heavy bleeding and you have to use more than one layer of protection, more than 2 days a month, that's probably too much as well.
Wow, that was a lot, but that was awesome. You know, that question comes up a lot, and you know, there's so many different facets to it. So I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of that. So let me go on to the next one. Occasionally, I experience sharp pains and discomfort with bowel movements. Could it just be something I ate, or could something else be going on?
Usually, if it's something you ate, you'll be more nauseous. You'll feel more bloated. You'll feel those types of things. You usually don't have pain with what in the doctor world, we call that pain with defecation. So you don't typically have pain with defecation unless there's a mechanical cause. That mechanical cause can be the stool itself. So if the stool is too bulky, for example, you know, people talk about if you have a lot of lactose and cheese, for example, you can have bulkier, you know, very hard, bulky stools, and that can be difficult. So that's one way of mechanics. So if, you know, if it's dietary, it would purely be because your stools are too bulky and too hard. If they're bulky and soft, it's not a problem. But the other things that can cause that, and one of the biggest ones, is like endometriosis, for example, scar tissue in the pelvis, anything that can cause an inflammatory condition around the lower colon and rectum, sigmoid colon, those are the things that can cause pain with defecation. Because as that stool goes through there, it's going through a portion of inflammation. And then finally, people that have rectocele sometimes have pain with defecation, because what happens is the stool comes into the vagina and it really gathers in that area. And then when they have to pass it, it's very, very difficult to pass. And that's a small hernia in the vagina in between the rectal and the vaginal wall. So those are the real three reasons that you would get that. So, you know, and if you get those types of things and it's consistent, you should definitely see the doctor, because a simple exam can kind of help that. And a change in your diet yourself can help the stool content, you know, just through using a stool softener. And, you know, if a stool softener doesn't work, doctor attention is probably necessary.
All right. Now we got one more question, and this one's a little different than what we've had before, but it seemed timely with the season we're in and our state of affairs with COVID. This woman asks, is it possible to be depressed and not know it? Things don't feel right, but I don't necessarily feel sad. Are there any other signs and symptoms of depression and anxiety I should be aware of?
You know, I'm hesitant to answer this question because I'm not a licensed psychologist or psychiatrist. But I do have 23 years of experience with people. And I can tell you that many, many times I'll ask a simple question and I'll say something along the lines of this, you know, is there something in your life that you're kind of not feeling so good about? You know, are you feeling like you're not accomplishing a goal? Are you feeling like, you know, things are in a rut? And, you know, many people will kind of, you know, assimilate what they're experiencing to that question. And they'll say, absolutely. And you kind of know that they have some underlying kind of, you know, sadness. Now, I don't know how to really, again, not being a licensed mental health professional, I don't really know how to tell you what sadness really is per se versus depression. I'm sure there's enormous amounts of criterion. I know where to find those criterion. I don't use them on a day-to-day basis. It's not what I typically do. I'm looking for people that are, you know, having mild changes. You know, we call it dysthymia, where you feel sad and you just don't feel your normal self. And I think there's some medications that can help with that. You know, and I also think that, you know, a good goal setting, you know, thing will help them. And then what I often tell patients too when they go through that is I say, get yourself a legal pad of paper. You know, that thing that you used to see on your parents' desk or whatever it was, you know, the yellow one with the lines on it, and write down 10 things that you like to do and determine whether or not those 10 things, your top 10 things that you like to do, how many of them are you really doing? Start doing a few of them. And it typically, if you're not really sure you're depressed and you're just feeling like things aren't right, you start doing things you like to do. It's amazing how well that works.
Jessica Reset, the Patient Outreach Coordinator with Women's Excellence. Thank you, as always, for coming in for a nice lively round of Ask the Doc. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Endometriosis Treatment Center of America. Stay with us here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Dr. Zaden, last month we had the pleasure of having Amy Lang, Fox 2 anchor and reporter, in to talk about her endometriosis journey, her journey to having a complete hysterectomy, and all the issues that she had getting to that point. And we had a great discussion about that. And you talked a little bit about the Endometriosis Treatment Center of America. You are feeling like this is really a service to your patients to have a center where they can come and talk about these types of issues.
You know, I feel like this is a service to all women who may have this disease. Because what I have found, and I think it came out with Amy a little bit in our last show, I don't remember each facet of it, but the truth is there's 1 in 9 women in this country that have endometriosis or have had it. And in that amount of people, which is a massive number of people, the biggest problem is that people don't know they have it. And it takes a very long time for them to get from symptoms to actual diagnosis, much less treatment. And we've had a very difficult time treating it because technology really wasn't there. It's really only over the last few years that we've developed better surgical technologies, skills, and techniques, and that we have a little bit better awareness. We really haven't changed a lot on the medication front, but we have learned and gleaned a lot of information about how endometriosis is related to allergy, how it's related to interstitial cystitis or bladder problems, how it's related to general inflammation, how, you know, there's so many things that, you know, endometriosis, you know, is associated with. And now we're able to kind of take a look at that patient and make a much greater statistical evaluation on whether or not they should be evaluated surgically. And when I say surgically, I'm talking minimally invasive surgery to potentially change their lives, allow them to have babies, retain their fertility. maintain their relationships by having a healthier sex life without pain, and day-to-day functioning, what I would call just regular standard quality of life issues. These are big. And what the Endometriosis Treatment Center of America is designed to do is become that center that if you have those problems, no matter where you're located, you can either get to us via, you know, a quick flight in, or in an area that we place an office near you. And this is the fledgling of that. And when we interviewed Amy, it really came to light everything that I've been using to make this foundation happen for endometriosis treatment. And she basically embodied all the things I've said on this show. And I think I said it a couple of times during that interview. This is an amazing time for this disease. This is a well-needed center. It has nothing to do really with women's excellence. It has everything to do with this disease. It's dedicated to this disease. It's dedicated to helping women that are having these problems. It's dedicated to those people that have infertility that is unexplained and they haven't been evaluated, because we know there's a lot of those people. And it is going to change lives. I see patients in the office all the time. You know, if you see testimonials that come in through our office, they're usually, you know, in some cases gut-wrenching or definitely life-altering. And that's the type of thing that I think we can really do. And I'm so excited to be able to do this on a bigger scale, because it's taken years of learning the business of medicine, the difficulties and regulations of medicine, the charting of medicine, the HIPAA regulations of medicine, all of those things, not to mention the surgical skills, the medication, you know, regimens, how to get them, because some of them are expensive and we have to pre-authorize them so your insurance will cover them. Some doctors aren't aware of that. All of those things have come to fruition in order to make this a convenient customer service, you know, focused, comprehensive way to treat this disease and all the sequelae around it.
And one of the things that Amy talked about was the issue of going from one doctor to another, just not getting the right kind of diagnosis, and in some cases not being believed, which I found very heartbreaking.
Well, you know, we're designing this center to be comprehensive. If you have another condition that's related to endometriosis, we have done extensive research, and we're talking literature research. It's not off the cuff. Oh, I think this is. Everything that we do is backed by a research-based protocol, and every procedure that we do and everything that we're going to do to kind of guide you, every piece of guidance that we provide you is going to be revolving around making you better as natural as possible, but getting you close to a cure. We know we can't specifically say that we can cure this disease, but we can certainly improve your quality of life, and that's what this is all about.
Dr. Jonathan Zaden, as always, we want to thank you so much for helping host Healthy Woman here on WJR. It's always a pleasure to have you in, and we'll see you again next month. Happy New Year, everyone.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.